Moncrief on News Talk.
So you think you're an adult, where Declan Buggy and
Buggy
and Aideen O'Connell this week are here to talk about some listener dilemmas. Good afternoon to both of you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hot and muggy and humid and close.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. All what, the weather?
Things. Yes.
Or the studio?
Just my approach, just my tactic.
That Michael McIntyre clip. Okay, so listen, this is, I find this kind of fascinating. Let's call this a forbidden kiss and find out what you guys think of this. I'm a recently separated woman with four children. My husband and I had our first child when we were 16 and both still in school. A few years later, we got married and had three more children. We were unhappy for a while and truthfully, we were sort of forced into marriage at the time. My eldest son is 24 now and moved to Australia last year when he finished college. Recently, I went on a night out with a couple of my friends and I bumped into my son's group of friends. Most of them are friends of his from football and range in age from 20s to early 40s. My friend and I had a great bit of crack with them and of course they were asking me about how my son was, etc. At the end of the night we all walked up the town to the local chipper, but myself and one of the lads took a detour and ended up kissing. It obviously felt really exciting and fun to let loose, but now I realise it was irresponsible and I'm full of guilt. I don't know what came over me. This guy is 28, 29 and I'm 40. I haven't told a soul, but I'm afraid that it will get out and that my son will hear back. Should I tell my son and get out ahead of it, or should I keep my mouth shut and hope it never gets out? Declan, just because you're laughing, I'm going to start with you. What should this woman do? Should she say anything? Was it wrong that she kissed a 29-year-old?
No, of course not. But I mean, there's a lot going on there in that small town where they all walk up to the chipper at the end of the pub and take detours.
Maybe it
down.
Was Bordocks,
it could have been. I mean, there's a detour. There's a lot of detours around this town as well on account of the Irish presidency. But
good point.
The reality of it is that look, this woman is kind of getting confused about what hat she's wearing, about who she is in any particular moment. Because she went out as, you know, from what I can understand here, as a single person out on a social night out, and then she kind of got a kiss off an adult. And that's basically all that really happened. Now, the consequence of that is that the next day she went, oh, I had a stupid kiss on a detour to the chipper last night. Which, on the overall scheme of things that an adult does in
there.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully many times. But the bottom line is that, you know, okay, maybe you go cringe or I'm not really into it or I don't want to have to deal with that. You know, whatever that is, that has nothing to do with the other hat that this lady has, which is the mother of a son who knows these guys. And that's where I think she's getting a bit into the conflict there. She's using words like guilt, which I don't think apply. I think really what needs to happen is she needs to say, did she do something wrong? And answer that question honestly for herself. Mm-hmm. And then she has to think, okay, now what is it that's bothering me? What's bothering me here is my son's reaction. She's trying to think about what will happen if her son hears about this. Who will he hear it from the other guys mm-hmm. in the football team? And is there a bit of banter? She doesn't want to be the subject of that banter. All that stuff is nothing to do with her personally. It's to do with kind of a culture of judgment and all that kind of stuff that I think she needs to let go. I don't think that it's sensible or appropriate for her to
sit
ring
the sun
up
down.
Or ring him in Australia and tell you what happened. Like she's crisis managing. Like it's like some kind of major PR thing she needs to get ahead of before the media cycle gets wind of this story. Like no, Blondet, sit at home and do nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because the worst thing that's going to possibly happen is your son will be embarrassed for about 2 days and, you know, give you a bit of a hard time over it. But other than that, you're already yesterday's news, really.
Yeah, but like imagine being the son in Sydney, like, and getting that call of your mother being like, I've something to tell you. And you think someone's dead. Like, and then it's like, I'm after shifting one of your friends. Like, no son wants that phone call. Which,
like,
the thing is, she's got a lot of things confused here.
Yeah, that's well, yeah.
Right. 40, 28, 29 is not a big age difference. I think she thinks that she's a lot older than she is because she had her first, she was 16.
Yeah.
And she was married and she probably thinks that she's like been around the block, but she's in her prime.
Yeah.
Like this is her time to be doing these sorts of things and having a bit of fun and let loose. She's probably not used to being a single woman and being free. She's not used to this feeling of freedom that she has now. But what the problem is that it's the son's social circle. That's what it is. It's just unfortunate that the person that she chose to do this with is one of the lads off the football team. And I'm sure this is a story that happens all over the country. But I would be the same as you. I would not get ahead of it.
No.
I would leave it. And the thing is, there is the chance that it could get back, because if it is in a small town, these things always get back. There's people talking about it already.
But, you didn't have to
but if
accept
it does,
it.
And if it's, yeah, accept it. And then if it comes to it, what do you say to your son? She's like, I'm an adult. Do you know what I mean? She doesn't have to apologize for it. She hasn't done anything wrong.
And he's going to go, but that's my friend. And you go, no, he's your new father.
That's who he is.
So listen, we're all, or you two are in agreement that like 28 and 40, that doesn't, barely even counts as an age gap, does it, in this day and
I do think it's probably a mental thing with her.
Because she started her romance with marriage at 16.
She was so young and she hasn't had that period where you could be single and, you know, having the crack and all this. She's knuckled down, like, and she's raised a family.
Yeah.
So she probably thinks that, like, her days are gone by, but
they
haven't.
I think it's also to do with spheres of activity, like, that she's going, in her mind, she's going, no, she's raised her son from a baby up to, like, some young lad who's gallivanting and not telling his mother what he's up to when he's in Australia. But his football team guys are all, are the, you know, she's seeing them as the next generation. When, as you've already pointed out, the age range, some of them are in their 40s. Yeah. I mean, they're the same age.
And that
as
is the thing with football teams, they're all friends. Yeah. With different. Now, the one thing I would be cautious of for her is if the chances are you're out again and you meet this fella and there's this idea that it could progress into something more, then I would kind of be like, okay, you have to look at the family dynamics there, and there'd be a little bit of that.
In a way, this might have been sent, she typed this out in the horrors the next day, because it kind of reads a bit like that.
It's a bit fear.
Yeah, definitely.
It's something I'd write.
How would I get ahead of this? How would I get ahead
of this? So are we both, or sorry, both of you in agreement then, because she wants advice.
Say nothing.
But I think,
like, she hasn't cheated on anything.
She needs to think it through in her own head as well, though. She needs to work. What is she actually panicking over? Mm. Because if she's panicking over her actions in the eyes of, you know, in a kind of an abstract perspective, she hasn't done anything wrong. If she's panicking about what the town is going to talk about, the town are going to talk about you, whatever.
That's talking about
everyone. Yeah, about everyone. So that's a game we all have to play.
Yeah.
And then the last one is, are you panicking about what your son is going to think? Well, it's too late for that on one level, but it's also like, you know, you didn't really do anything wrong, and just don't say anything to
also me. Okay. You're 40, you're after pulling a 28, 29 year old. You're a hot young thing. Be proud of yourself, girl. Yeah. Clap.
And it seems to be kisses on the way to the chipper. A good kind of, you're suggesting that's a good place to have a snog. En route to the chipper. You haven't had that
snog in the chipper, which would have been very spicy. But I know, like, at the end of the day, I think, look, I think what she did was quite discreet. The young lad that she was with, he's not a child. He's like 30.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he's probably not going to say anything
well,
either.
Do you know what I mean?
So I think she needs to cool her jets on panicking. She needs to also cool her jets on the kind of, you know, self-flagellation and kind of blaming herself for some kind of
forgive
thing that
yourself.
She didn't do anything.
Forgive yourself.
So, I think the worst thing she could possibly do is to turn it into some kind of news story that she needs to get ahead of.
Yeah.
Don't tell him forgive yourself. There is a text in saying the son will never come home from Oz again.
Yeah.
So, make of that what you will. Okay, now this one, I've experienced this. Let's just say that. And I think a lot of people are going to get into this one. I'm a 36-year-old woman and I've been friends with my group of girls since secondary school. In the last year, there's been a huge baby boom within the group and most of us have either had babies or are currently pregnant. I'm due my first baby in October. Congratulations. And if that was me saying congratulations, she didn't congratulate herself. And if it's a boy, I hope to call him Jack after my dad. I've made this known to the group. You can see this coming. And we've often discussed names. The problem is my friend gave birth to a boy last month and she called her son, that's right, Jack. I'm furious that she's stolen my name. I confronted her about it and she said, I don't own a name and I might have a girl, so it's irrelevant. She seems to think it's not a big deal. She comes from a very large family and claims that some of her cousins share the same name. I still feel betrayed because it's my father's name. Am I wrong?
This isn't about the child's name. This is about the friendship.
Yeah.
This is about your group of friends from secondary school. You're 36, so you've been through the horrors and the wars together. stand by each other, you know, thick as thieves. That's what she's annoyed about. She's betrayed by that friend. Because it is a thing when you're in girls and you're in a group and you talk about babies, you share the names that you want to call your future kids. And there is a unspoken trust there that no one is going to, unless it's like, it's happened to me before where I'd say something to a friend, the other would be like, oh, I actually want to call my child that too. And we kind of laugh about it. But like, if nothing is said back to her, she assumed that this is my name for my child.
Is
and
it like
of them are going to take
dibs
it.
On Jack? Dibs on Jack.
Now, right. And I think she's entitled to feel upset at the friend. Okay. Mm. And maybe if the friend hadn't voiced the opinion that, you know, I wanted to call my child Jack as well, I get that. And she's so entitled to be a bit disappointed about it. But again, she doesn't own a name. Also, everybody's called Jack. There's an amount of Jacks going around the place. Like, Jack is so common, I'd say, right? If it was so unique and out of bounds, I'd be like, okay, she definitely stole your name.
There's even four Jacks in a pack of cards. I mean, for God's sake, come on, you know.
Yeah, I just, she has to sit back now and I think, right, okay, you're entitled to feel a little bit upset and a little bit disappointed with your friend, because I do think that's where the core of this issue is. It's the friend, it's girl code.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's your best
friend.
But
she's not naming it as that, though. She's not coming out and saying, look, as we all know, when you're sitting around with your pals, you know, your girl pals, and you say, I'm going to have a wedding in Tuscany, I'm going to wear, you know, yellow wedding dress. And if somebody else comes and steals that idea, you know, then that might, you know, you might get the hump over that, because, you know, this is girl code. But the bottom line is that if it was never agreed that that was your name to keep, if it was never kind of acknowledged that you have some special right over because you had that conversation, then you got no legs to stand on. And if that's not the way she's even approaching the argument, she's coming at it like saying almost as if she has some kind of genetic right to the name because her dad, you know, is a man called Jack in the world. Mm. Like as if, on Grafton Street, if I shouted out Jack, that would be the only person that turned his head. When in fact, we know there'd be men and women turning around their head and going, please.
So if it was Barabbas, let's say, she'd have a case to answer.
I would say, yeah girl, come on now. She stole that name.
You did. You stole it from the Bible.
The thing is, when you think about it, okay, if you're annoyed about the fact she's taking the name, like, it's a lovely name, Jack, but it is very common. So, like, does that mean every person, say, in your town or your village or city, who's called their child Jack, does that mean you have a vendetta against them now and they have wronged you?
Where it falls down is the idea that, first of all, the name isn't for her, it's for the child she's about to have. And that child is going to go through life being called Jack. And it may or may not be a problem for that child called Jack to be in a classroom with two or three other Jacks, to be in an office with 10 Jacks, to be whatever, to be around the world with a name that may or may not be a popular name and whatever that means. And that says a lot about society, that we have this kind of, you know, in my day it was Sean and Mary and then, you know, now there's billions of Declans and now Declan is popular in Australia and America, where when I lived there, nobody was called that. So you go, your identity is wrapped up in your name, but it's also not really. And it's not really worth getting so kind of
the special nature of what you called the child, or you want to call your son Jack. And it doesn't take away from that. Like, your dad is Jack, and if you want to call your son Jack, that you'll always have that connection, and your child will always know that he is named after his grandfather. So your friend's son being called Jack doesn't take away from that at all. Doesn't interfere with that. This is why I do think, and lads, I'm reading between the lines here.
No,
with
I think
friends,
you're right. It
I
is
really
that.
Think this is like a it's deep
a friendship issue.
This is a friendship issue.
So should
issue.
She just convey to her friend how, park the name for a second, and just convey to her how disappointed and sad she is?
Yeah, you can bring it up with her, but I can't imagine that the girl on the other side is going to take it very well.
Because she already tried to bring it up, and then they started arguing about whether or not, you know, she owned the name.
She needs to sit down.
And that's the wrong argument.
You need to sit down. This lady needs to sit down herself now and really look at, like, a bit of cop on, likely, to be called for here.
I would
about the name.
Sorry to cut across you. Kids tend to grow into their names, no matter what you call them, in a weird kind of way.
Lovely Barabbas has a face like a Barabbas.
But it's true. So it kind the name becomes so much less important once they're handed to you and you realise you have to feed and clothe them and pay for the college.
So maybe when she gets, like, if the son is born, he might look like a jack at all.
Yeah. So listen, get in touch in 18 years and let us know how it's working.
But I would keep it, just don't broach with that friend anymore. I do think there's other issues there. I think that are being masked by this issue. Start them at another time. But at the minute, you need to sit down yourself and just be like, okay, I'm still allowed to call my son Jack if I have a son. Still named after my dad. It's still special.
There's a lot of people texting in saying, just call him Jack.
Just call him Jack.
Or also someone suggesting, if it's a girl, call her Jacqueline. I suppose she can
do Jackie.
That. Yeah.
But that's, all of that is the name is not as important as the whole experience being special. The kid, as you pointed out, being named after a grandparent, that's special. Just the kid being there is special. And focusing on the kind of the proprietary nature of the name.
The naming rights.
It's just a bit like, you know, getting a website.
Jack.
You can't be called that because I have that.
I have that domain on my
.com.
You know? There are a lot of people saying this happened to them as well. And there's also a lot of people, I don't want to offend anyone, the Jacks, but saying it tops the list all the time. It's become a boring kind of name. There's five Jacks. More than your deck of cards in my poor child's class. So maybe she's dodging a bullet. Someone suggesting go for Jake or Jackson.
I'd rather they didn't, but that's just that's just a personal thing. With all due respect to the Jakes and the Jacksons.
Okay.
Right.
Well, listen, apparently, according to my erstwhile panel here, your friendship may be in crisis, but hopefully you have a bouncing baby boy or girl soon.
And sorry to all the Jacks out there.
Yes, exactly. And he or she will grow into her name. Now, just time for one more. My best friend has recently started dating a new guy who she met in work. They have been seeing each other for a couple of months, but I only met him for the first time the other night when we were out for drinks. It did not go well. I should probably read the rest of it. Whenever my friend left the room, it was almost as if he was trying to make a move on me. He asked me if I was single, made flirty comments, and tried to touch my arm and leg several times. However, when my friend returned from either the bar or the bathroom, her new boyfriend acted normal around her, as if he didn't just try and make it past me. I'm unsure if I should tell my friend or not, as she really likes the guy and seems happy. Also, what if I'm just paranoid and his advances are just the thing I made up in my head? What should I do, Declan?
This gives me the heebie-jeebies, lads. Honestly, it's giving me panic attack.
Your own. I mean, if you're actually asking us a question.
Our laughing there probably gave it away. But go on, Declan, sorry.
If you have to ask, if you write in the letter that you're writing to us that, you know, I'm not sure if I made this up in my head, I think you're kind of answering your own question there, which is that maybe this didn't happen and maybe it did. But the bottom line is that unless you are 100% sure that something untoward has happened, hold your wish, say nothing.
I'm surprised that you're... So you think she's not entirely sure?
She said that herself.
Questioning herself, which can happen. Now, I do find it strange that it wasn't just like one thing. It was like a sequence of things that happened where it was like the flirty remarks, the touching. But now I agree.
She doesn't just say what they are, though. Yeah. What are these things? Like, you know, if I asked you if you're single, does that constitute in itself some kind of like, am I coming on to you? No. So it's just therefore that one, I think we can argue that can be either way. The next thing, you know, if you actually in conversation and you touch somebody, and I mean, what way did that person touch you? What way were you sitting? I put my hand on your leg because I'm making a point. Oh, maybe I didn't feel comfortable doing that myself immediately afterwards, but it's too late. It's happened. Does that constitute me being inappropriate? Yeah, maybe. But does it constitute me flirting with you? And, you know, it's a very grey area. So I think at the bottom line, everybody in interactions with people has the potential to kind of make a slobbering mess of it. I think that what she needs to do is to just let time move on a little bit further.
I'm so on the fence with this because there's a part of me that's like, okay, if this actually did happen and from his point of view, it was a bit sneaky, that girl is probably protective of her friend and wants to let her know that the boyfriend isn't really all that. But then at the same time, as you say at the end, she's questioning whether it was done in a friendly manner or if there was something else to it. So then I'd be like, if she brings it up to the friend, those conversations never really end well. They never end well.
They don't.
So what a compromise here would be is that you watch that behavior and you have a bit more proof before you would sit the friend down, because it, you could be preempting here and then getting yourself into a really sticky situation, which will end in a fight, which could end with your friendship breaking down. So I'd be looking out for a sequence. I'd be looking out for a bit more proof, maybe. I don't deny that these things, like he could have totally been chancing her. You wouldn't know. And if he kind of went from, if she saw a real change in behaviour when the girlfriend came back, that it was totally different, that gives me a little bit of a weird vibe. But you need to watch this now before you go.
I wonder what, you know, what level of player you'd need to be trying on someone, young one, at the, you know, at the seat in the bar while her best friend, your new girlfriend, is in the bathroom. That's the bit that I'm going, whoa, you know.
I'm telling you, this happens. Yeah, I'm telling you now.
Okay, did you just not all man me there? I think you did. And I think fair enough.
I
accept your point. But I also do think, look, unless the actual, you know, it's just because you have to protect everybody. You protect the person's right to be, you know, innocent until they're proven guilty. Yeah. You protect your friend and you protect your own relationship with your friend by not throwing, like, you know.
Do you know what's so strange about this? I really didn't think this was the way this conversation was going to get. And what people take from this, because I just read this as this guy's a creep and she has to tell him to get rid of him. Yeah. But it's clearly when you point, there's a lot more nuance, which I hadn't picked up on. So that's what I mean. You know,
yeah, but see, the thing is that
there's always nuance.
There's always situations. But I do think you, unless, like, you're susceptible to, like, energy change, let's say, which sounds very woo-woo, but, like, she obviously did see a change in how he was acting with her to when the friend came back. I do think that's quite telling, because I think women have a good intuition about these things and they would know. But I just fear for her that, without a little bit more proof, like, watch how he is with other people too, and watch how he is with you next time, and then go to her. But then, like, if you go to her, don't lay down that your boyfriend's a creep.
Yeah.
Because it will not, you and cannot, I also don't think, never ends well.
You, I also don't think for a kind of whole load of ego and you know, misdirecting the argument points of view, I wouldn't say he did anything to you, because then that don't inject yourself into the whole thing, because then that's territorial.
Like the way he acts, the type of person that he is,
yeah,
and then gets to the bottom of it, because she will. I'm telling you, she will not take. Yeah. She will not take well to that, and these things never end well. And sometimes the girls in these situations don't even be called out, and they don't want to. Mm. They won't see it, because if you're started a relationship, you're going to be kind of blinded by it anyway.
Yeah, because it's charming.
And if
you
go to him, what's he going
to
do?
Yeah.
He's going to deny it.
Yeah,
he will.
Okay, so maybe watch the second time around is what we're saying.
Watch out for this. Yeah.
I've just been told by the gatekeepers that we do have time for one more, and I did want to get to this one as well. My brother's wife is currently unemployed. She was made redundant over a year ago and has been job hunting ever since. I have a small but successful business, and my brother recently asked me if I would consider hiring her. I could, but I think it would be a terrible idea. She just wouldn't be the right fit, and I think ultimately could jeopardize my relationship with my brother. To be honest, I also find her quite lazy and dramatic, which makes me even more reluctant to bring her into my business. Morale is very low in their household at the moment. Should I just take a chance and give her a job?
I think you've answered your own question here. Like, listen to the first thing he read out. She's not a good fit. That's like going for any job.
Yeah.
If you don't get it, not a good fit. You know straight away. He knows well that she won't work in his business, and that is so fair. All the other things are secondary to that first point. And like, there are other ways here I think he can help out. I know he feels that they're in a sticky situation and he wants to help, but there's other ways you can help. They can review her CV, put her in contact maybe with other people that you might know that she's a better fit for, but don't feel like you have a responsibility here to her. You don't. Because
Declan,
did
you go along with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think what's not really kind of spelled out in this problem is the fact that if he is to hire her and make her an employee of his business, he then has way loads more obligations to that person on an ongoing basis than he does, like, on a family friend kind of level. It's actually, you know, being an employee or an employer comes with loads of responsibilities. And that's why, you know, who you hire and who you actually take on into your organization has to be a very careful and sensible decision at all times. So that's the first thing I'd say. So he knows that as a businessman, that's the way he wants to be. And when, you know, the worlds of family and friendships and the world of your own business kind of collide, it tends to often cause chaos, because on what basis is your new employee now your new employee? Because
yeah.
if they're coming in as your brother's, you know, yeah. wife, there's a whole lot of messiness about stuff. So I think I agree with you mm-hmm. totally that maybe to redirect the whole thing into like, well, I don't think, you know, we'll casually say, I don't think yeah. that she's right for this organisation for loads of reasons, but I think we can find a way to yeah. find her somewhere
and
to go.
Don't say it to the bird that she's lazy and dramatic. Also, yeah. Don't leave that. Their personal judgment sound. Just
there is seeds of a massive family rupture if it yes. all went wrong, isn't
like
there?
Like imagine Christmas.
Yeah.
Like that could be brought up.
But also if you don't help in the right way now, then that's always going to be held against you. So this is a really complicated scenario because, you know, on one level, he's kind of going, would I just bite the bullet, even though I know it's the wrong thing to do, and give her the job anyway? I think that's the wrong thing to do.
Mm-mm.
I think there's a middle ground of actually going, let's find a way to make her somebody else's problem.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you should do.
And like, you can't just give her the job. Like, she would have to go through the recruitment process anyway. And even at that, that'd be so awkward bringing her through that. And then at the end, you'd be like, no, I'm not going to take you on anyway.
If you wanted to, you could make that and make it a really difficult process and actually go, look, I really wanted you for the job, but the consultants I brought on board just thought you were wrong.
There are ways to get yourself out of this. There is
But ultimately, try and give her a hand towards employment,
hand,
but just not with you.
Not with you, essentially.
What we're saying.
That would be a huge mistake.
We'll end on a text then. Don't hire her. Massive family fallout guaranteed. He's been there, according to Kevin. So there you go.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.